When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week's episode is brought to you by Grown Woman TV. Grown Woman TV is a podcast network that is on a mission to amplify the voices of Black women creators while creating purpose-driven programming that centers around supporting, educating, and celebrating Black women. We are currently accepting submissions for brand new shows. So if you have a podcast or a podcast idea that you think would be a great fit for our network, apply now to host a show on our Grown Woman TV Roku channel. Submit your application for an invitation to our next casting call at grownwomantv.com/host.
This is Girl Stop Playing, a weekly show that empowers Black women to stop playing with their potential so they can live a life that they love. I'm Coryell, your favorite homegirl, and I'm on a mission to help Black women make the money and get the honey. You can have it all as long as you're willing to work. This is the Girl Stop Playing podcast, and today we have a super special guest in the building. As you know, these conversations are all about helping you make the money and get the honey. And today's special guest is definitely a woman with a wealth of experience. I feel like she's lived several lifetimes, and we are about to get all up in her business. We got my girl Trina Small in the building.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I tried to look like really quick, and I could not find it to figure out what episode of Confessions of a Workaholic you were on way
back in the day.
One kid ago.
Yeah,
for you, zero kids for me. Yes. No man, no kids, no nothing. Like, right. Literally, when I say you've lived several lifetimes, all of us have, you know, obviously, because we've started in one place, and the journey has kind of taken us, you know, several different places, but it's been such a joy to just watch you evolve and elevate and try all the new things and blossom into this amazing, beautiful woman that sits before us.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind.
Thank you.
And you too. Like you said, no kids. You was out here.
Girl.
The single wives club, and now
whole new life.
You in it to win it, honey.
In it, trying to win it. Okay,
You win it.
So, who is Trina today? Like this version of Trina. Introduce us to her.
Oh, this Trina is free. This Trina is happy. This Trina is empowered. This Trina is so strong, stronger than she ever thought she would be. I like this Trina.
Come on, this Trina.
I mean, it took a minute to get here, but I love it here.
Okay.
So I really do. So that's this Trina right now. This Trina is smart. This Trina is confident. Just so many things that I had to really pull in, and it just really showed me who I really was. And I was like, okay, she dope.
Life has a way of like showing you what you're made of.
Right.
Like you thought it was this, but usually you surprise yourself by what you can get through without literally like breaking.
Exactly.
So the Trina, and I'm going to find it and link it down below so that y'all can go listen to that episode of Confessions of Workaholic. Mm-hmm. But back then, I'm thinking that you were like full-time blogging, mom of one, right? Married, mom of one, full-time blogging. Trina now, entrepreneur still, you evolved. Catch me up, because I know you had the blog. Do you still blog? I know you have a supermom.
Yes.
Supermom lifestyle, right?
Supermom culture.
Okay, look, let me, supermom culture.
Yeah.
I got all my stuff.
I brought you a little gift today.
Thank you.
But, so yes, I was a blogger. So now, the blog, I'm trying to dust it off.
Okay.
But, you know, nobody...
It's coming back, though, right?
It's coming back. So I'm gonna blow the dust off of it. I'm going to keep that going. I mean, thank God I still get hit, so we still got traffic. But I still blog. Supermom is, like, my main thing. That's the supermom culture community, empowering moms to feel heard and seen. So that, you know, that took off. Mm-hmm. We ended up on Good Morning America, mm-hmm. what, three times, mm-hmm. and The View, and, you know, different things like that. So that's like its own train that it has taken off doing that. And then I did a little bit of a pivot outside of the influencer world. I'm actually doing, like, some consulting now, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So taking the skills you've honed yourself and the things mm-hmm. you were doing for yourself and your business, and now you're able to leverage that for other people.
Right. And again, like, you know, just kind of getting back into, like, learning more about me, like, I do have a marketing degree, so I'm actually using my degree now. So, you know, that's great.
That's the thing.
Which is, you know, it goes hand in hand with digital marketing. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the marketing thing. And then I'm in a good space where I've been an influencer and an entrepreneur. So that's just like, I know all the sides. Yep. It's like, what am I doing? So, you know, of course, I know a lot of people like you and other amazing entrepreneurs, and then people just call me like, Trina, can you help me do XYZ? Do you know how to do this? And I'm like, yeah, I did that. And they'd be like, help me. So that's kind of how it started. Mm-hmm.
The power of proximity and the power of your people.
Your people.
That to me, I mean, and I feel like I've learned it the hard way, because I always talk about, I played myself in college. I did not have any internships. I did not do the things that would mm-hmm. really intentionally build your professional network.
Right.
Entrepreneurship, though, taught me that people, like the power of people, a connection is worth more than a check sometimes.
It
you
is.
Know, it's worth more than a coin, really having a connection with somebody, because that could lead to several coins and several opportunities and things that you don't even see for
yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. I get, you know, all the time, I'll just get random emails on so-and-so referred you, you know, and I don't even have to be there. Mm-hmm. You know how, and I've never pitched. All the stuff that I've
That's
done, I have never pitched.
Because people will see what you do, and they're like, well, give me your pitch template. And it's like, baby, yeah. This is me and God.
I ain't got
none. God is putting me in position and putting the people around me
Absolutely.
To lift me up and open the doors. I always say, like, our blessings come from God, but they come through people.
They come.
And so the fact that you're not out applying for jobs, you're mm-hmm. not pitching yourself for opportunities, people are speaking your names in rooms that you are not in.
Have
and
no
it's
clue.
Based on your reputation
yes.
and the work that you've done.
That's very important.
How have you been able to maintain your reputation? Or I guess share like some tips for longevity, because you're not necessarily doing the same thing, but you mm-hmm. are still in your own lane.
Yeah.
You've still been able to evolve. You are still relevant.
Yeah.
You still have
Thank
these
you.
Strong relationships. So mm-hmm. what, I guess, advice or wisdom could you offer for someone who wants to be there?
I think the main thing is rock with the people that rock with you. I say this all the time. I think, you know, supporting you, supporting other people, even when you're at a, I don't even want to say a downtime, but when you're like kind of like, not plateau, but like you're just kind of resting mm-hmm, until, mm-hmm. you know, the next day. Support, pour into other people, listen, you know, share, whatever. And I think that's what a lot of people are lacking. Everybody's so worried about them. Pour into other people. And I think when you do that, then, you know, when it's time to cash some checks, people be waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Trina, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's important. I've been supporting people from the start, even if they didn't even know who I was. And then they'll come and they'll be like, I remember you. You posted about X, Y, and Z years ago. Girl, I got so many orders, da, 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 da. So now they're like, okay, Trina, I can rock with Trina. You know, she was supporting me before I even met her or whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. And I think that's important. And a lot of people get away from that. Everybody's looking to take, take, take. You got to give. You got
to
make a deposit.
It has to be reciprocal.
You got to make a deposit before you make a withdrawal.
And I think it's just so, like, obvious. Like, you can feel it when
yeah.
somebody is not, I don't want to say they want something from me, because if we're being honest, everybody wants to benefit from any relationship, any partnership. Everybody
right.
wants it to be
right.
beneficial. But I think the difference is when you know you bring nothing of value, or you might bring something, but you might be stingy with it. You might be selfish
yeah.
with it. You're not really willing to assist or support unless there's something in it for you. And I think people can pick up on that.
Yeah. And it kind of baffles me that people think that you can't. Like, you think I got to where I am and the things that I've done,
just
like just being
foolishness.
Like, just, you know, dumb, mm-hmm. like, oh, I ain't know you was trying to use me. Like, come on, dog.
So how do you deal with those experiences? Because I think it's easy. I'm going to just speak for myself. I think that so many things you learn the hard way in entrepreneurship
yes.
and just in life with relationships, mm-hmm. friendships, some of the things you go through and experience and challenges you have with people can make you feel like it's you. And sometimes it is you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you are the problem. But yeah. not all the time.
Right.
How do you not internalize multiple instances of things not going wrong. How do you maintain that this is part of the journey, but I'm not going to make this like a part of my identity?
Well, I do. Every once in a while, I do internalize and not be all in my head, but I kind of got to like get it out. You know what they be like? I'm a cry now, and then I'm giving it to God. Like, you're going to give it to God, but like I'll be all in my head, like, I can't believe this, and, you know, play it out. And then once I do that and I calm down, maybe a little wine, and then I'm on to the next. It's like it never happened. So that's kind of how I deal with that. That's pretty much it. Like, and then when, what were you saying about, like, people coming at you like that and things like that? I just be like, girl, what is you really trying to do? I'd be like, look, this is what I can do. And then I just lay it out there. You either take it or leave it.
Boundaries.
Yes.
That's what that makes me think of. And that is something I am personally, that's a personal challenge for this year, is like working on not just establishing boundaries, but implementing those boundaries, like sticking to it, standing on business with these boundaries. What are some of the boundaries that you have had to implement professionally or personally? Like, what are some, I feel like 40 is the age where I've heard that it's just like, I'm a grown-ass woman, and this is what it is. I'm not people-pleasing no more. I'm not, like, any of those things. What are some of the grown-ass woman boundaries that you've had to implement and stand on?
Man, a lot. Like, and I'm definitely in the 40s, and I'm good. I just be like, all right. Like, and people really be surprised. Like, you ain't gonna say no. Like, that's what you want to do. I respect people and what their decisions are, and then I'm going to respect mine. And so mine are coming into play more so now because I'm single now. Well, I'm going to use that term loosely, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not married now.
Say that.
I'm not married right now. So with that being said, girl, the way I be like, bloop, 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 red flag, bloop, like I just be next.
Like a video
you know
game.
What I mean?
Out,
yeah.
Out, next.
You got to go. Like, I can't. Go play with somebody else. Like, I'm okay. That's what you want to do. Okay. And then I say,
I'm not gonna snub you. I'm just not gonna join you.
And then it's like, well, what happened? I thought you. No, that's what you. And I decide if I'm gonna participate. That's like my thing. So you set the tone. Okay. I think about it. I'm like, I don't think I want to do this anymore.
So is that a different version of Trina than not necessarily married Trina, but pre-married Trina, like Trina back then versus Trina now? Do you feel like your experience as a married woman is, how is it dictating your experience dating now?
Yeah, so being married, I was married 15 years.
We got to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. You go, oh, you give all the tea, because I don't really talk about it too much. Ooh,
we can learn from it, though. Not just to be nosy, but
no,
I...
We really do. Yeah. And I'm working on something where I could talk about it more. But I think married Trina, because after such a long relationship and two kids, what makes you think that I just met you and I'm going to deal with your stuff when I got to, if I'm going to do that, I could have stayed where I was. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just don't make sense.
The math ain't math.
So it don't matter. Right. You do the equation. So if you think I'm going to deal with your foolishness, nah, it ain't happening. And I'm okay with that. I said, hey, this is what I say. I done served my time, and I got a T-shirt. I'm good. If I have to ride this thing.
Okay. I want to peel back the layers because I just started my blog, everybodylie.com. Okay? It's all about dispelling these myths that we've been taught. So some of the myths, you know, you go to school, you get the good grades, you get the good job, and then you live the good life. Complete bullshit, right?
Right.
You have to have kids by a certain time because your eggs are drying up and no men are going to want you. Complete bullshit.
Yep.
One of the other myths or lies, though, is that getting the husband is the hard part. Like, girl, if you could just get the husband.
That's easy.
But managing the marriage is never mentioned. And as a married woman that's trying to figure this thing out, I realized all of it was a lie.
Yeah,
all of it.
So
I want to know your experience on this side. So you got married. I'm 1,000% sure you did not enter a marriage with an intent to end the marriage.
Yes.
So when did it, or what were like the moments where you realized, okay, wait a minute, this is not what I thought I was signing up for. Mm-hmm. This is not what I expected this to be. Like, what did that look like for you?
Whew, girl. So that was a journey. Again, I really, like most, I would say black people in general, men and women, we don't have a lot of examples, which is number one. So we're kind of doing it. We got, you know, we got pure hearts and great intentions, and we really try our best. Like you said, we're listening to all this. You know, marriage is hard work. You could do it. But sometimes that hard start looking crazy, and you'll be like, okay, I get hard, but like this though, like, I don't know about that. And I think that's where it was like I was coming to a crossroads. Like, okay, some stuff. And then the myth about not talking to other people, like keep people out your business. But it wasn't really until I talked to my friends. Like, I got some great girlfriends from since I was 15 years old, talking to them, and you know, they God first and they married, like they are the pinnacle, like, you know, they go strictly by the Bible. So I confide in them on some things, and they'd be like, Trina, I don't know about that. And then it was like, until then I was thinking like, this is the hard, like, normal. I'm just supposed to thug it out, you know what I mean? You know, so when I realized that, I was like, wait a minute, okay, so, you know, did that, we did the counseling. Like you said, I did not get married for 15 years to, now, I thought I was going to ride this thing out to the sunset, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody wants to do that, and then get divorced in my 40s.
And then have this on your record.
Right, yeah. Right, and then get divorced in my 40s and be out here in this dang pool? No, ma'am, that was not my plan at all. So
how bad was so bad that you decided the other side is worth it?
When I had to decide between Trina and
Mr. Nameless.
Yes, and somebody else. Like, I would have had to put somebody else ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And then I would have had, it wouldn't be the same Trina. It'd be a whole nother Trina. It would be a shell of a Trina. And that's when it kind of broke my heart. Like, I don't want to let Trina go. Like, mm-hmm. I like Trina. Like, mm-hmm. she's dope. Like,
it's
why
me
not
or you.
Yeah, it's me or you.
That's literally what I feel like it comes down in every relationship, in every situation. Yeah. And we are taught, though, that that's selfish, that that's not how you,
yeah,
you know, that
we're, exactly.
you're looked, that's not the way that you are, especially mm-hmm. not in a relationship, especially not with somebody you love.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's like, do I love you more than I love me?
Because right.
that can't be how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the gray area in marriage where it's like, how do you live up to, especially if you are religious at all,
right.
and you have this idea of, you subscribe to what you're supposed to be as a wife and what you're
yeah.
supposed to be willing to endure and put up with and all of the things. How do you, what is your advice for married women who are trying to just navigate what's too much? Like, what truly is an investment? What truly is me being down for this commitment and this covenant,
right.
and what's like, okay, that's crazy, that's too much? Do you think it's just a personal decision?
I think it can be personal, but I think it's really when you assess your partner, if there's things that like just don't sit well in your spirit, what my therapist has said was like character flaws, not just disagreements.
Mm.
I feel like disagreements and stuff, you can figure that out as long as the person is
willing. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's what you have to decipher. And it took me a while to get there to decipher certain things that was like, okay, like you like doing that.
This is who you are.
Yeah, this is who you are. And I think once you got to believe it when they show you who they are. Even in a marriage, you'd be like, what? You know what I mean?
Oh, Trina,
yeah.
that puts me back. Like, I remember that feeling in dating relationships
mm-hmm.
where it's like, okay, you know, like you cross the line and I can't go back. You know, like you've done that thing and now I know that this cannot be what I thought it was going
right.
to be. I cannot imagine having that feeling with my husband.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if I'm ready to jump in front of a bullet and then I'm over here for something else and I'm like, wait a minute, like I'm ready to put my life on the line and you can't do this, like this little thing right here. Okay. All right. Okay. You know, you start like assessing stuff, you know what I mean? I'm not going to go into detail and
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to bash anybody, but you know, I just think, you know, sometimes you could definitely grow apart in your relationship. Again, I was married 15 years and my ex was significantly older than me.
How much older? Like the number of years?
15.
So how or did that impact, not necessarily the relationship ending, but just the dynamics of the relationship in general?
I definitely think it depends on the person, but what I found is sometimes people want you to either stay that young version of you, because I met him in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And again, 15
20-year-old trainer. That was it.
Right. 20-some-year-old trainer. That's a whole different podcast. But anyway. So sometimes they want you to stay in that, you know, younger, impressionable. But I wasn't that impressionable. I'm from Chicago, too. So, you know what I'm saying? I ain't that impressionable. But you grow up. You know, I went all through my 30s and stuff. So, you know, went through all that. And then, you know, you turn around, especially after having kids, and you like, you know, you're a different person. Uh-huh. And some people, they want to go back to, you know, some people want you to stay where you are. And some people, when you grow up, they don't like that.
What do you think was the biggest disconnect as far as the dynamics of your relationship? I think entrepreneurship is a very, mm-hmm. that's a transition where what it literally requires of you to be mm-hmm. a successful entrepreneur, it ain't what it required to be an employee. It ain't what it required in any other position. Like what it calls of you, it's a totally different version of you.
Yes.
And the same with motherhood. Right. The version of you that is required as a mother, completely different from who you mm-hmm. were able to be as a single, or not a single woman, but as a childless woman.
Yes.
Which of those versions do you feel like caused the biggest stress in the relationship?
I do think it's business. I think entrepreneurship, even though I had the physical support, but I think when things start turning and you start making, you know, boss moves, you know, sometimes it, you know, it can ruffle a little feathers mm-hmm, here and there. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. again, you know, if they like you over here, you know,
being good with this little bit. Now, when you have all of this, it's a different beast.
Yeah, and then, you know, all eyes are you and attention and stuff like that. And sometimes that could, you know, that definitely could drive a wedge.
I've had this conversation with, and not to put you, mm-hmm. Trina, in a box, but where you are right now in life, successful, I don't want to say boss shit because I feel like that has negative connotations. Is that successful black woman who mm-hmm. has evolved, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the goal.
Right.
To succeed with something and to evolve, become a better version of yourself. That woman is a threat to a lot of these men.
Yeah.
A lot of women just like you end up in this same position where they have had to walk away from a marriage because it was me or you. It was, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Not even in this season. This is who, you know, God is calling me to be. This is who I've evolved into. And you can't handle this version. You don't like this version. You want to compete with this version. You jealous of this version. You want to control this version. Or you want to disrespect this version by going out, finding another, you know, like it's literally these same things over and over, which is why I'm not just sitting here being nosy, but I'm really trying to figure out, like, is it, this was just not a good match? Is it, these are some ways that you can evolve together with your partner? Like, what is the solution in all of this?
And I've definitely laid there many of nights trying to figure it out myself, because it was like, math ain't math. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the problem? Like,
we
a team, you know what I mean? So you really just like, I think some people, it just brings out certain things in life, brings out certain things in people. Mm. And then after they start showing you stuff, it really becomes like you bumping heads. I'm just trying to be great and do this for our family. You know, that's how I look at it. And not to say that at the time that he wasn't happy or anything like that for me. I'm not saying that. But I do think like certain things come up where it's like, you know, you know, the wife role, it's like, but you're still my wife or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but I'm grinding right now. Like, we got this. Like,
so was that a challenge? Okay. So being 1,000% honest, mm-hmm. and only, you know, this answer, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a challenge for him, obviously, because he saw you as this. I want my wife doing this, and you didn't do X, Y, Z. Where was you at? Was it a challenge for you personally to not necessarily balance, but stand in both roles as the entrepreneur who, as we know, you got to do whatever the business requires mm-hmm. of you today. You don't even know what that's going to be, but you got to be willing to do it. Was it hard for you to balance that role and responsibility with being the wife and being the mom and maintaining the house and doing whatever you even felt like you were supposed to do?
Yeah, I did a lot. Like, even like, so when everything started popping, like the Good Morning America's moving into the warehouse, getting thousands of orders out, I still was trying to, you know, I had got food prep to make sure that they had food. Like, I still was doing that stuff and, you know, still managing our house because I didn't want us to miss a beat. Mm-hmm. You know, cleaning people coming. Like, I just had everything set up. I even, you know, the girls was in the mix. I was, get your bags, get your toys, your iPads. We're going to the warehouse. We got work to do, mm-hmm. you know. And I would pack them up. So I thought I was doing pretty good. And, you know, still giving, you know, I would involve my ex in things and stuff like that. But, you know, everybody don't want to be involved. And I'm not saying that he didn't want to be involved. But I'm just, you know, it happens to a lot of people. Like, we think we started family business. We want the family to come. All the family don't want to come. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. So we just have to be honest with that. And that's okay. I don't think nothing's wrong with that. And even with that, too, sometimes the best role for a spouse is to just be that support. Hold the baby down. So when you hold the baby down, yeah, I'm going to miss the baby when I come home and I, you know, we could do our thing, you know.
So was there ever any point in either of the businesses where you all were working together in the business or not really?
No, not really. Because I already, that's one thing I didn't know about him. Like, we did not work well together. So
yeah. You feel like you knew that before y'all got married?
Yeah, kinda.
What does that look like? That means like it's, y'all have a power struggle? Like, what makes you say that?
Yeah, because like we kind of did the kind of the same thing, but he was more on the corporate end of it. But okay. I did, you know, I'm doing social media, but he was marketing for, you know, a company. And I think with that, it was like, you know, it was like, oh, you should do this and stuff. And if I didn't, it was like, you know, like I was being defiant a little bit or something, you know,
like this is my baby.
So I had to be intentional to keep it separate because I didn't want that. Again, I didn't want that to be part of the I didn't want it to be all business. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that was better to keep it separate. Let me just handle this. You keep the girls. I'll let you know when I, you know, I'll give you a task. If, you know, and if you don't want to do it, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. But let me decide, you know, what role I would like you to play in this, you know. And I get it, you know, people want to help or they want to be a part of it. But I think that was probably the best thing because I probably would have been in this space a lot sooner if I didn't do that part.
If you didn't have that boundary.
Yeah, I had to set that.
Uh-huh. Okay, last marriage question, and then we're going to move into motherhood.
Okay.
Being in your seat where you are right now, what is your advice? Your little sister comes to you, she like, sis, I'm about to get married. Do you think I need a secret stash? What do you tell her?
Oh, geez. Well, being a divorcee, I would say yes.
Okay.
Because that's the part that people aren't talking about, that financial. Technically, I've been a stay-at-home mom for 9 years, and now I'm divorced. I ain't had to pay no bills. You know what I mean? Well, since I've been at home, mm-hmm. I mean, I did the kind of first half of our marriage until I quit. But, like, that was a big deal. It was one thing, you know, especially being an entrepreneur. Money is fluctuating.
Ooh,
we in a recession. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I felt like I was printing money a couple years ago. Now I'm like begging, like, you know, please
help me. I'm poor.
Put aside, you mm-hmm. know, we'll work for Supermom or something. You know what I mean? So I think that is the thing that no one talks about. Like, you know, I had to go get another house. I had to move. I had to, you know, now I'm paying bills. And I'm like, these bills really do be coming every month, you know? And hey, that was a blessing. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, in my previous relationship that I had that opportunity mm-hmm. because I know a lot of people, you know, all the discussions now, 50-50 and all mm-hmm, that stuff. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I'm like, this is...
One thing about Mama, she is going to make sure that everyone else is taken care of before she even thinks about treating herself. So if you are looking for the perfect gift to make mom feel special this Mother's Day, make sure you check out the Mega Moisture Duo from Osea Malibu, because body care is self-care. Since 1996, Osea has been making clean, clinically proven, seaweed-infused skincare. So this Mother's Day, treat mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GSPP at OseaMalibu.com. Plus, you'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code GSPP for 10% off.
This is the ghetto life right now. Like, I'm paying all the bills.
Adulting is some.
I got to make sure. Girl, I remember when my phone got cut off. My cell phone had got cut off because I wasn't used to paying the bill.
You just forgot this bill was still coming.
And then, like, I had saw something come across, and I was like, they don't mail bills no more. And I wasn't even thinking about it. Next thing I know, everybody was looking for me. My niece come knocking on the door. I was like, what's up? She's like, girl, I be calling your phone. I was like, oh, let me go.
I do have to pay that bill.
I do. I got to go pay it. It wasn't that I didn't want to pay it, but it's like, why did it come every month?
Every month.
So I would say, be smart about it, save it, have a plan. And you don't want to plan for a divorce. I never planned for a divorce. I was just thrown into it. What? Okay.
You didn't initiate it.
So I did, but he filed. I'm giving you all the tea.
What does that mean?
Whoever filed first, it don't mean nothing. You're still getting divorced, so it really don't matter. Some people feel like I broke up with you first.
Yeah, I got you first. I said I was done like that. Okay, well, we're still done is done.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I want to know the inspiration behind Supermom, though, because I did not feel like a supermom when I became a mom.
Really?
That's another lie. Another lie is it just comes to you. You have the baby and the motherly instinct just kicks in. Now, I do believe that if it was literally life or death,
yeah,
anybody, any mother out there, you're not gonna let your baby die. Like,
right,
I can believe
right.
that.
Yes.
But to convince people that you're gonna have this baby at 12 o'clock and by 12:05 you're gonna just be a mother, I don't think that is realistic.
No, because you're learning. It's like, I call it the Twilight Zone. It's almost like you're in an episode of Twilight Zone. Like, you went through this, like, tunnel and, like, fell into
what
this other
hell?
World.
Yes.
And you got to get your bearings. You're looking around like, what is happening here? I didn't even feel like myself for really 9 months. And I tell other people that. I'm like, give it, like, 9 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Then you'll finally be like, I think I might got this under control.
Unless you get pregnant again.
You was tripping.
I was out of my mind. I was really in the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. Girl, that was my worst nightmare. Is to get pregnant, like, while I was, like, breastfeeding, because, you can't really take birth control and all. Mm-hmm. Woo, girl.
Yeah.
You was wilding.
That's the thing. But research is, like, up to 2 years, you're still in the postpartum.
Right.
And a lot of people have another child within 2 years. So, imagine this whole 4 or 5 years that you could be literally, like, in a state of confusion.
Yeah. And you got two. Like, that's a whole nother world. And so that's what Supermom is about, because, like, we was only worried about us. Like, single,
living a good life.
And, no kids, just doing our thing, working and climbing the ladders. And then all of a sudden, we responsible for two people, and I got to make a point. Like, it's a whole nother job.
Girl, make appointments, making sure they got their supplies for the things. We were getting ready to talk about the activities and the schedules. Listen,
it's a lot.
The internet wants you to think that you are selfish if you don't want to have kids. I am here to tell you that you are actually selfish if you have kids and you are not prepared for this.
And you're not prepared for it. Because you, like, give up your whole life really
literally.
For, like, the first 5 years. At least.
And then they go play sports. And then you give up the rest of your life for the rest of your life.
Girl, my daughter played softball and it was 100 degrees outside. And I was out there. I was so unprepared for the first game. Sweating and didn't have enough water. We done ran out of water in the first 15 minutes.
Ready.
It was just too much. So the next time I come with a whole wagon, it was stocked up,
coolers,
ice, jugs, and all that type of stuff. But that's, you have to learn. Like, we just figure it out. And that's the super mom in us.
Mm.
Like, we figure it out. It's not about being perfect. We're like the superhero. Like, if it's, we gonna figure it out.
Figure
we
it
gonna
out.
Solve the problem. We're like, we come in like Superman. And we be like, wait, what's going on? Okay, we gotta get this done. We gotta get that done. And we do it. We make it.
Magically done.
It's magically done. We know it's almost like magic. It's magic to everybody else.
To everybody else.
But except for
appeared.
Us. We know we was up, all overnight. Girl, I be pumping balloons for birthdays in the middle of the night. I set my alarm for 3, so when they come out in the morning, they got balloons.
Yeah,
and, we be doing the most.
The secret, it's like the secret life of moms, like the hidden. I put on Threads a couple weeks ago, like, there needs to be, like, an Olympic mom, like, changing a baby diaper, getting the babies ready for school.
Yeah.
The way that I'm sweating by the time I get my body into the car in the morning,
yes.
like, packing the lunches, getting the kids ready, putting the hats on, picking up the stuff, doing all of the things. I'm literally dripping sweat.
No, for
and
real.
We deserve like an award, a celebration, some acknowledgement, something. So the fact that you've literally created this brand so that we could celebrate ourselves.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like, I get to wear this as a badge, right? Yeah, I get to wear this affirmation. As a badge of honor. Yeah.
People tell me all the time, they be like, Trina, I had a rough day and I took, you know, took my coat off and I had my super mom on.
How can you be mad and you look in the mirror and say super mom?
And you like, you right.
I'm never.
You right. It's an affirmation. Yeah. You wake up and you say it's super mom. And then a crazy thing I was just talking about this morning after I dropped my youngest, my 8-year-old off to carpool. We go through a lot in the morning.
We like,
you know how people
days.
Be like, oh, get up, pray, meditate. I want to so bad. But, you know, it would require me to get up at, like, 5 in the morning, which is okay. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But, like, once you hit the ground, or don't let a kid get up before you.
That part. Your day has started before you are even awake. It's
only
like the
I
craziest
say,
concept.
Yeah.
I am at work, and I'm not even awake.
Exactly. And then, like, you know, you don't even have time to pray and meditate. You know, everybody be like, oh, I start my morning.
Girl, please.
I be like, thank you, Lord. And that's about the only prayer I get until I'm about to lay my head back down at night sometimes.
Yep.
Because as soon as you hit the... And then I got my teen over here, my 13-year-old over here, having a whole nervous breakdown because her edges ain't laying how she want them to lay.
I can't. How is it... So, I'm boy mom down over here. You're girl mom down over there.
Yes.
I do not envy you. I'm scared of girls. The reviews on girls have come back real not so
do
great.
Not recommend.
Do not recommend. It's real ghetto over there. How is it raising a daughter in this Instagrammable, influencer, sexy red society?
I hope we left sexy red in 23.
I don't think we did.
She pregnant now? Look, I guess I'll send her some super mom.
Sexy, right? Look, hey. Look, we no shade, sexy. No,
yeah, we
no shade.
We got you. We got you with the
come
super
on.
Mom. So, I will say that I'm blessed. My girls are really dope.
Okay, that matters.
They are dope. They like my little homies. I have to check them every once in a while. You know, I have to get nose to nose sometimes, but they're really good, and I'm really blessed with that because, again, they went through that divorce with me, and, you know.
Do you think that made y'all closer?
It definitely made us closer. We're like a team. Like, we are like ride or die. Like, we locked in like that. We ain't locked in. Ain't no switching up. Like, that's us. And, you know, I had to have these hard sit-downs sometimes because when you got a 13-year-old, they make their own opinions. They watching stuff. You know, you might not think they listen, but they might be listening. And I was really trying to make, you know, protect them, like, oh, everything's fine, everything's fine. And then sometimes they would come in, they would catch me crying and breaking down. And there were sometimes I just lose it, you know? Like, I had had enough for the day. Like, I just had to deal with X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I got lawyers and, you know, this and that. All type of stuff going on. And I still got to be a parent. Like, I still got to get y'all ready for school. I still got to wash and comb y'all hair. But I'm fighting. I got a dumpster fire right here, but it's going to have to wait until I get done with this.
How do you find the balance between... Because I feel like a part of the disservice that our parents did was wanting to appear perfect. They didn't let us see them cry. Let me just speak for myself. My parents didn't let me see them cry. They didn't let me know that there was something wrong. They were going through something. And I think that when you see this perfect parent, you grow up to have this expectation of yourself.
Yeah.
I should never be sad. I should never struggle. I should be strong.
Yeah.
How do you find the balance, especially with girls, of I want y'all to understand this is life. Let me explain it. Let's talk about it. But I don't want to put this on you. Like, I don't want this to be a burden on you as a child. How do you balance that?
I'm just very honest with them, whether they like it or not. Like, I've had some crazy conversations, but I'm just 100 with them. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, give them super raw, but I'll try to, you know, say it the best
way that
I can.
You're gonna give them the real. It might not be raw.
I'm gonna give them the real. Yeah, I'm gonna give them the real, and I'd be like, look, this is what it is, you know? And I had to do that because otherwise, I think if I was sugarcoating it, I didn't want them to think, like, you know, we would be going back or, like, this is just temporary. I had to, you know, I had to tell, like, no, like, this is our new life now, and this is how we're moving forward, and,
You know, we're a team, and we got to, you know, I talked about even in our home, like, you know, I had to cut back on a lot of stuff, and I had a cleaning lady, you know, first world problem, so I don't have a cleaning lady no more, so I'm like, y'all, we got to all pitch in.
We the cleaning ladies
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we the cleaning ladies, and, you know, they understood it. I was like, you know, we all going to have to have responsibilities, and it's like, they got cool with that. Even Harper, you know, she just turned 8, like, she was understanding, so she was 6 when we started the divorce, so she even knew and stuff like that. And it was so funny though, then her response to everything, so when you gonna get us a new rich daddy?
Okay, wait, but their dad is very much still,
he's still, yeah,
so is yes. That do they be mad at their daddy, like, how? Because oh, I just God, know girl, they have their own minds, their own attitudes, their own opinions. How do they manage that? Because they obviously want to see mama with some with somebody rich.
Well, right. That was my youngest. And she said that, I was like, oh my God. But I was like, from your lips to God's ears.
That part.
They do good. They go with him. They still, he's very involved. And so, you know, they manage it.
They make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they're mad at anybody. I think, you know, they know it's different now, but, you know, I think they see it coming together. We're still new in this. We're just a little over a year into the divorce, mm-hmm. so they're doing great. You know, they go with them, they thug
kids
it out.
Kids are more resilient than yeah. we give them credit
that
for.
That part.
We
be the ones taking
up
all this stuff. And, you know, at first it was really, you know, them crying and me crying. It was a lot. But now we're at this place where they be like, oh, okay. Like, my oldest, she'll write in her calendar, this is when we go with, you know, she be planning. She'd be like, oh, this your weekend? Okay, I want to go to Avalon. I'm going here. Can we go to Main Event? Like, she'd
listen,
be making all
the kids be benefiting they from do. These two separate households.
Yeah.
I mean, now, let me not say it like that. I don't mean that that is the best situation. We know that's not ideal, right? Everybody, we know that. But what I'm saying is, as the child,
yes,
you be benefiting from going to daddy and getting this and coming back home and getting
this. Oh,
yeah,
because it's a
definitely.
Whole, it's a different world when they go there. You know, I got schedules. Like, I'm on it. Like, I'm in mommy mode, you know, regardless.
But daddy gonna let me.
Yeah, they just, yeah, they be up late. I be getting texts in the middle of the night. My little one FaceTiming me. I be like, girl, you supposed to be asleep. Right.
Okay, so you, I have a personal parenting question because, and I do have boys. Mm-hmm. And one of them is 2. Mm-hmm. We know what they say about these terrific 2s. They are not that terrific.
Girl.
And I am worried that it's not just a 2-year-old thing. I'm worried that is this him. So when you say I'm blessed, my girls are just really great, were they always just really great or did they become really great?
No.
Give
so
me some hope.
My second one came out gang banging, like, what, like, you know, GDs and came through the door.
Yeah.
So she was very much like that, and, like, you know, running, tearing up stuff, like, would just
embarrassing
sit there.
You in public,
like, I would be like, hand me the remote, and she gonna hand it to me and then throw it over my head. Like, she was on one,
and then it just switched one day.
And
did you beat her? What did you do,
no,
Trina? What did you do?
I did not
tell us
beat
the truth.
Because
people never talk about when your kid is bad, what do you do? When your kid's embarrassing,
yeah,
what do you do?
I don't want a kid to get beat now because I would beat like a Hebrew slave. But
it was different generation.
I know. But at the same time, I think sometimes every once in a while you might have to get that little tap, tap, tappity tap. But I try to stay away from the parent and stuff. But
listen,
sometimes that might be what they understand.
Here.
That might be what they understand. And I'm not saying like it has to be ongoing, but sometimes you got to give them a little shock value because life ain't going to be go sit in the corner.
Life going to knock you down.
It's
yeah.
going to tear you up, or you're going to be in jail behind bars and telling somebody something, you know, in another 10 years. So sometimes you got to show them that this is the bad side, you know, and you got to know your kid. If you tell them multiple times that you can't get them to stop doing something, you might have to take another
approach.
For my oldest, timeouts worked great for her. That she was just devastated if you told her that she had to stay over there for a while with nothing. You know, I mean, of course,
what worked with the little one?
The little one, no. Her daddy, I would be like, well, I'm leaving, and just don't tell me nothing, you know. So she got a couple taps here and there, you know. But she got
my daddy. I mean, his daddy gonna have to just
yeah.
rip him up once.
Yeah, you
one
might
or
have
two
to
times.
Like, you know, and I like I said, I get nose to nose, and they be like, that's the worst thing ever for them. I'm like, I didn't even
do nothing, but I can.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that I can.
That I can, you know. And I tell them stories. I'd be like, oh, your mom used to be get with them now. Don't
see,
play.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's And you know, I'm trying to subscribe to this, not gentle parenting. I'm trying to subscribe to intentional parenting. That's I just want to think before I do things. Yeah. I don't want to be reacting to you. I want to just be emotionally intelligent, still in my parent role. That's the type of parent I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
But when I'm in public, my pride, you know, it's just like, you got to embarrass me in front of these people. Yeah, because
you are judging all them other moms. Like, why is that kid hollering?
You know,
you'll
be quick. Single, childless women are quick to, oh, you need to get him. Oh, you need to, baby. But when it's your him, when he is yours, it's like a totally different
story. Let me tell you what I used to do. I used to step over her in the store. Fall out if you want to.
Good luck.
Girl, bye. And I just take the cart. I might pause it on the end and, like, try to look. But I be gone. And then they say, you know, when she saw nobody coming and she just laying there like this, it was like,
All right, I'm going to go ahead and get
out. Like, the dramatics are over. Nobody's here to see me. She got her tail up and acting like she had some
sense. Okay, so all of this. So just keep trying it all.
Yeah, just try it all. I think you just got to navigate and really learn your child and what works, because no two kids are the same, too, you know. So, like, my other one, she, a wooden spoon, you know, like, they got the spanking stick.
I definitely have those wooden spoons.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, like, you want to tap? No? Okay. Because that's the result of doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and I need you to see. Yeah. And not to play
with
me.
And then I think it's certain, I think, because, like, I mean, I got whoopings for playing. You know, I think we have to discern, like, what's the part, like, were they just playing and didn't know? And then, like you said, being intentional. Like, okay, I'm mad. Like, especially when they write on the wall, they think they done made some art.
Mm-hmm. And it's being able to not be the child. That's what parenting is. It's growing up.
Yes.
It's you not behaving like a child. Yeah, right. You really raising yourself as you're trying to raise these kids.
Right.
So my last question, another part of the reason that I'm scared of girls is because of my mommy issues, because of the relationship I have with my mother.
Okay. Yeah.
And it just is repeated relationships of, like, our lineage of women and daughters. That's just what it is.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I'm
awful.
Sorry.
In my research, I'm realizing this isn't that uncommon.
And I'm learning that, too.
It's a thing.
Because me and my mom was like this.
So,
like,
this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted to ask you. What are you either repeating or moving away from as far as how you were raised? Like, what are some of the things? Because I think a lot of us, when we are not evolved or matured or trying to be intentional, we end up just repeating what was done to us because that's what's normal. That's our example of how you do things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you identify any of the things that you're like, I'm intentionally doing this different?
So what I'm intentionally doing is being 100 honest. So they know, like, my mom tell me something, it's good as gold. You know, I want them to know I got their back. I always tell them, I said, if somebody's running late, trust me, if I'm not there, I'm looking for you, or somebody's coming for you that you know. And I tell them that all the time. You can rest on that. Because that was one of the things, you know, back in the day, with, you know, no phones and stuff. My mom was working, like, second shift and stuff. Sometimes people didn't show up to pick me up that said they would. There was no cell phones and, you know, your alarms going off during the day to remind you. If they didn't look at the clock, they just kept going. And I would be at the school, like, with the janitors. You know what I'm saying? Because back then, us used to just bounce. And I'd be at the playground. So that's something that, you know, I tell them. I'm honest. I try to keep the communication. So, like, me and my oldest, like, we kiki with the drama and stuff like that. Like, she'd be like, girl. I'd be like, bruh. Like, I'm your mom, but, you know, I let her slide, you know,
how
so she'd be like
that. How do you find the balance in that, though, too? Because how do you be friendly with your child, but still be able to,
I probably let her slide way more than a lot of people would, but I think that's more of my personality, because she'll send me a text and she'll start out, sis.
But that works for y'all.
I check her and then I go into whatever she was talking about. I was like, girl, who you call sis? You know, just to kind of remind her.
But let me imagine who you are.
Our little thing. So, you know, I don't get on her too hard, but I always say, I'm your mama, right? You know, so she'll tell me about this, the little boy drama and who broke up and who together and stuff like that.
I
want to keep that because I'd be like, so then I get to see, then I can put clues together and find out
and figure out what you're doing.
And I'm going to figure out what you're doing. So, you know, that part helps. And I think just doing stuff with them, too, they're included in a lot of things that I do. And we just have a good time. And I think them seeing me with my girlfriends, my oldest said, when she says little stuff, it just really makes me proud. Like, make me feel Like, I'm doing it. I'm really doing it. She said, I hope I have friends like you have friends when I get older. Because she knows, like, and my friends, we all had kids around the same time. So now she has, like, these play cousins. Yeah. And so they be like, they be so excited when I say I'm going to so-and-so's house or so-and-so house. So they get to kick it, like, all the time. Like, we go over there, like, somebody can have a house party. They'll just be up in a room tearing up stuff while we down there having a good old time.
I love that.
So, we, like I said, they're like my squad. Like, we crew. And that's how I will say 100% they feel like we just like a little team. Like, we like a little girl squad.
That is something that so many grown women find themselves searching for. Is like community and like... Somebody actually cares about me. I belong somewhere. So the fact that you are cultivating that in your home.
Yeah.
Super mom shit.
Yeah.
That look, she ain't just selling it. She's living this life.
And one thing that I've never done, I don't judge anybody on how they parent. Even when I was baby shopaholic back in the day, you know, it's just, I always try to create these fun spaces because everything ain't for everybody. And how I roll with my kids might not be. Now, there's some kids like, I've never told my kids to say auntie or TT or Mr. and Mrs. And so sometimes we'll get around people and they'd be like, it's Mr. John or whatever. And then I have to check them because then they're like acting like my kids are rude. I was like, hold up.
We don't do that.
And I'm like, you know what? I started saying, like, you know, so now they do it. They do say Mr., you know, they'll say Mr. Corey or Mrs. Coriel and, you know, stuff like that. So they will do that now.
You know, that's an up north thing. Side note, because me and my husband have this conversation where he grew up saying yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, sir, no. We don't do that. And I think it's because our people ran away from that in the South.
Yeah.
And they taught us we don't do that.
Yeah, we ain't got to, look.
We all equal up in here. Yeah. I'm not no, ma'am, and yes, ma'am.
And I think that's what it is. So, yeah, my kids don't say ma'am and sir and stuff. Now, my little one.
Because we down here in the South now. Yeah.
And my little one, she's funny because, like, she would go to stores. So she know who got all the free cookies, balloons, and stickers, right? So she would go in the Publix. And, like, the free cookie, it'd be a woman. She'd be like, sir, can I please have a free cookie? And so, because I make them ask for things, like, you know, like, so they can learn to talk to people. And so she was doing that all the time. So that used to, like, I used to be rolling. I'd be like, she don't
ma'am,
understand.
She's trying to
She called a woman, sir. I was like, oh. Because that's probably the last one she heard. She was like, well, I'm going to just say sir.
Say one of them. Yeah.
It's one of them. Like, it's going to be something
good.
I love
it. You're definitely mom goals.
Oh. Listen, I'm just out here
figuring it out.
I'm figuring it
out. That's the other secret, y'all. Ain't nobody got it figured out.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got it figured out. And I don't even think there is a figuring it out. It's just like a journey.
It's a journey.
What I'm doing today. Yeah. Tomorrow, I might have to do something totally different. Yeah. But today, I'm going to try this and let's just hope for the best.
And I tell my girls again, you know, I call it recalibrating. Like, you know, we're getting accustomed to this new life because it's new for them. It's new for me. You know what I'm saying? I lay next to one person for a long time. You know, now I wake up, I have to remind myself, oh, girl,
you got this whole bag to yourself, girl.
I'm like, okay. You know, like, where am I? I'd be like, wait, okay. So I tell them now, like, mommy got to put her head down. Like, we got to replenish. Like, I'm going to be grinding to the summer. And so, you know, all that little extra stuff, we're not going to be able to do that.
Even teaching them, because the joys of being able to spoil your kids.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside of that is sometimes they don't get to see how hard you work for things.
Right.
They don't have to work as hard for things when everything is just given to them.
Right.
So I think them seeing both sides right now while they are still under your protection and under your care and you can explain things to them, like the women that they are going to be because of the woman that you are become, like you're not even necessarily, some of the stuff you're doing on purpose, but you're really just being it and they're seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, I had to. And, like, I didn't have a choice because, like, for real, like, this last couple of years was really hard. And, like, to have my kids in tow to do this and they're watching their mom, like, rebuild her whole life. We left with no furniture. My daughter learned how to put together furniture. Now that's her side hustle. She goes around putting together furniture.
The women that they are going to be.
It's crazy. And that was not even a plan.
It's not crazy.
It wasn't strategic.
It's not crazy. It's you. Mm-hmm. It's not by choice. It didn't just happen. They aren't just dope. No. Yeah. Who do they come from? The dope dealer, baby. Right here.
Right.
So
right.
For all the super moms out there who have to go right now and grab some merch, tell them right there in this camera, where can they find you online? Where can they follow you on social media?
Okay, so Supermom Culture, that's the streetwear lifestyle brand for moms and dads and families, really, because, again, we talked about having a team. So supermomculture.com, Supermom Culture on Instagram, and I am Hey Trina Small on Instagram, and my blog is Hey Trina, but we're going to dust that off.
It's coming back.
It's going to come back. It's going to be some. I had a call this week. It's coming back.
Is this what you giving?
I'm trying.
Okay. Because they're here for it. We're here for it, baby.
I'm trying. Look, I got to pick your brain because you be making it all happen.
And you talk about
super mom. Give it up for this lady with this beautiful set.
Thank you, boo.
With two babies under two. Mm-hmm. Are they under two or three?
One is two. Does that count? One is two. Okay.
That's crazy. You crazy.
Yeah, I am.
Don't mess with you because anybody that can do that. That's almost like you serving prison time and handling business at the same time.
Girl. And trying to throw it back, trying to, you know, all the things.
All of the things. Yeah.
Superheroes is truly what we are.
We are.
I love you, Trina.
I love you too.
This has been an amazing conversation. I just know so many women are inspired. All of the versions of you that they can identify with, like an inspiration for so many. So check her out, y'all.
Thank you.
Super Mom Culture. You told your personal Instagram, Hey Trina Small.
Hey Trina.
Trina.
Hey Trina Small, but it'll come up under Hey Trina.
Okay. So all of that will be linked down below. Make sure y'all go shop, support, and put your money where your mouth is.
Please do. Okay. We're recalibrating.
We're recalibrating. We are rebuilding. And it's super important that we practice group economics. All jokes aside, we have to make sure that we are putting our money where our mouths are so that we can circulate the black dollar in the black community. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Make sure you share this episode with a friend. Subscribe to the channel so you don't miss out. And I'll catch you next week.
So if you made it this far, I just know you loved that episode. Well, what you did not know is that we recorded it right here in ATL at Elevate Studios. Yes, your girl has her own studio, y'all, and it's not just for me. I'm opening it up for you too. So if you have a podcast, if you are a vlogger, a YouTuber, or a content creator, and you are looking for a professional studio to record your content, or you want to hire me and my team to fully produce your content, make sure you check out the show notes below or log on to elevateagency.com.